It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff. And today we are talking the afflictions of addictions. And I think, believe it or not, this is something we all can relate to in some capacity, because I think every one of us, in one way or another, certainly has a vice. Right, Jeff?
Yes. You know, have you ever been trapped? You ever had a situation where you were stuck?
Like just in a stuck. Physical sense yeah, or just, a mental
yeah,
sense?
Yeah, just in a, either one. Just, you know, but you were trapped in something.
Yeah, I would say so. I actually kind of feel like I have claustrophobia, and so I don't like to be in tight places.
Oh, gosh. Uh-huh. So do you ever go caving or hide in closets?
Blind people don't cave.
I don't know. You have an advantage.
That sounds dangerous.
When I was a little kid, I was at the top. It was Saturday morning. My big brother, Steve. If you're listening, Steve, hello. He's laying at the bottom of the stairs pretending like he's asleep.
Okay.
And his legs are open like a scissor. And I knew what he was going to do. He had done it before. And I'm trying to walk down the steps quietly, because just in case he's sleeping. And no sooner that I had to step between his legs.
Clamps
me down, smashes me on the floor, and he won't let me go. I'm trapped. And by a person who's 10 years older than me, who has muscles that...
much bigger than yours.
I considered him like the Hulk. You know, he was scary. And I was powerless, man. I was trapped. And I think that's a great perspective to have for people who think...
are stuck in addiction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What would you say are like a vice maybe that you would have that you've struggled with over the years, or maybe still struggle with?
Oh, thought life.
Yeah?
Thought life, man, is an easy one to... I've told you before, I only share about 5% maybe of what I think about. And, you know, that whole passage, I think it's in Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 10, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. That is a tall order.
Mm-hmm.
A long time ago, and I'll probably mess this up, someone said to me, and it spoke to me then as a young man in Christ. He said, you can't control whether birds land on your head, but you don't have to let them build a nest, right? And that's what thoughts are. You can't always control the thoughts that come, but you don't have to let them stay.
And build and continue right. to thrive within your mind.
And, you know, if you think about it, everything that we ever do, most of the time, not always, but most of the time, started with a thought.
Yeah.
We gave it headspace, and then it permeated our heart and our desire, and then we acted on it.
I would say that makes great sense.
So thought life, you know, and, you know, I wasn't a Christian for the first half of my life. And so there's a lot of my past that I still remember I did. I'm ashamed of, I'm embarrassed by, that I still have difficulty being done with. You know what I mean? Like
sure.
getting it out and just saying, I'm done with this. And this is not who I am anymore. It's hard because it always creeps back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you're never... there's always scars. You may heal from a broken arm or you get a gash, but there's always a scar there. And that's probably the best way to put it. So it's, people often say, well, you turned out okay. You did all these things and you're okay. It's like, you don't understand the scars I have from what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And does that make sense?
Sure. I think all of us struggle with that in some capacity. Yeah. I think of, you know, for me, when I was probably 18 to 20 years old, spent 2 years of, I mean, me and my buddies would spend every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night just getting belligerently intoxicated. Mm. I mean, it'd be nothing for us to go through as individuals, a bottle of liquor in that 3 days, or, you know, 12 to 16 beers. And then, there is a point in my life with marijuana use I struggled with. I started using it just casually, recreationally, and, you know, it chilled me out. I liked the, you know, calming effects.
The peaceful, easy feeling.
Yeah, the peaceful, easy feeling. That's right. And then I started noticing, I began using this on a daily basis, and I realized, like you just said, this is becoming a trap for me,
mm-hmm.
to where I'm going to go from, you know, I was using this recreationally as maybe a chilling out or social fun with friends, to this is going to consume my life. I'm going to start doing it every day, all day.
Mm.
And I knew, you know, at that point, it was time to hang it up.
It's a slow creep, isn't it?
It sure is. And it never just walks in like a roaring lion. It just creeps right up on you.
You know, it's, you think, and the vices, like you said, are just so vast. Nobody, when they were a child, when they were asked, when you grow up, what do you want to become? They don't say, I want to be a heroin addict.
Yeah, they don't.
You're right.
They do not.
No, I want to be a prostitute. None of these things are what we think we're going to end up doing when we start playing with fire. Right? Sure.
And it's just, I mean, you've got things like nicotine and cigarettes. You've got sugar and everything. You've got caffeine. Anybody can have a problem of any variety.
Oh, like, I'll tell you what. I am, in present tense, addicted to caffeine.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
You know, if I don't get my coffee, not only will I be your headache, but I have one, right? It's like...
I'm somebody that likes not a cup. I like cups of coffee.
Yeah, I drink at least two, sometimes three cups of coffee a day. And I do have attention issues, and the caffeine, the stimulant, does bring me into a place of focus. Mm-hmm. If you've ever been around me before, a cup of coffee, again, that's where I'll be a headache for you, because I'm like... Blah, 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 blah.
But no, turn this guy down a little bit, would right. you?
Right. And it's my Ritalin, if you will. But my point is, I am addicted because, not because I have a wanting for it, but I get headaches if I don't drink it.
Sure. So your body is, in essence, right. dependent upon it.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So,
and you know, what would you say? People, obviously, you've got people using their vices for, you know, a multitude of reasons. Obviously, you've got you're young and curious at times. I've certainly been that person. And then you've got maybe, like I said, I like the calming effects I was given without really realizing the consuming that was happening to the consumer per se. But then you also have the people, and I would say this is the majority of folks who are using things of that magnitude anyway. Certainly people aren't using coffee for this, but escapism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are they running from, or what are they trying to find, do you think?
When you're outside the design and the will of God for your life, and you're pursuing your own ends, there comes a place where you come to the end of that rope and you go, this is it, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. it's empty. Life without God is empty every single time, even for pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Because while pleasure feels good, it does not satisfy.
And I can actually think of, that's funny, back now we have, you know, sports betting and gambling pretty much legalized about everywhere at this point, but I remember being, I was probably 21 years old, and I used to love to sports bet. I'm playing on this website out of Canada where you send your money, and they literally send you a check from a company that has nothing to do with sports betting. So I don't know, you know, I kind of liked the risque, oh, nobody else is doing this, I'm ahead of the curve. And I actually used to tell my wife at the time, I go, this is going to be so awesome one day when this is everywhere. And now I see the day to which it is everywhere. And I think it is absolutely, it's scary.
It is.
Two clicks of a button and you can wager whatever you want to wager.
We can see it so clearly when we set it for mice, but the mouse only sees the cheese.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't see the trap. And we really aren't much different. In that moment, we think, oh, that trap won't get me. I'm different.
Yep. I remember a time, actually, I had a buddy, too, that he used to work for my dad when he was in college. And him and I would go up. I would say we went to the casino here in Toledo when it opened. We probably went at least once a week, and we'd play craps. And I remember one time we were messing around on the slots, and I won $1,400. And I said, hey, let's go over there to those $100 slot machines. There's no way it's not going to hit something. And I brought $500 with me, plus the $1,400 I just won. And I spun that thing 19 times without a victory. Lost it all.
Somebody won. It just wasn't you.
That's right. It was the people that have the 97 or 98% payout.
That's right. Right. The house always wins. Now, you know, in the end, in the aggregate, they always win. And that's the same with the devil. You know, he's the greatest at the counterfeit. He camouflages things so well that it doesn't look like what it is, a trap, a lure. And we are looking for fulfillment in these things. They even promise, that's part of the commercial, right? They promise fulfillment. They promise happiness, but they never can deliver fully.
Sure. And what is the scripture talking about? Like I said, I know sin doesn't come upon you as a lion, but the devil himself roareth about as a lion looking to devour you.
Yes. There's another passage, Proverbs 14:12 says it this way, and it's kind of in that same vein. There's a way that seems right, but in the end it leads to death.
Mm. So would you say, you could maybe say that the main struggle with discernment isn't to see right and wrong. I think everybody kind of knows that.
Yeah.
Would be to see right and almost right.
We justify a lot of gray that isn't.
Mm.
Yeah. We convince ourselves, I can always walk away. I can always do it another way. And only to find that that sticky trap has us. And again, we lied to ourselves. Like you just said, it's not that we don't know it's a trap. It's not that we don't know it's good or bad, right or wrong. It's written on our hearts according to Scripture. The issue is we are good at not just deceiving others, we're good at deceiving ourselves.
And that's I feel like you play the devil's game, he's going to beat you at it every time, isn't he?
The house always wins. The house always wins. And this is his house, by the way.
And I think of...
this is his world.
It is. And I think of Psalm 34, verse 19, and it says, the righteous person has many troubles, but the Lord delivereth him from them all. And that's certainly, I can be a testimony to that in the sense of, I'm not sitting here telling you that I'm a perfect person by any stretch of the imagination, or that I don't, you know, have a drink or two on occasion. But to know that my life is no longer consumed by those things, or that all day I can't wait to do this, or can't wait to do that. Those thoughts are out of my head on a regular basis is an absolutely freeing feeling. There's no doubt about it.
There is a few scriptures. I'm just going to kind of pull them all together. In your desire to resist sin, your efforts, you've never resisted like Jesus did to the point of shedding blood. And that's one of the things he did. He was tempted to...
That was when Satan took him up on the mountain, right?
Well, no, when he actually went to... he was being tempted to save himself and not die on the cross.
None of us have definitely been tempted like that.
And he literally was so stressed out that he was sweating droplets of blood. Mm. And it's like, wow. I mean, have you ever had a wrestling match like that? That's where it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. It doesn't say how long the resistance will be.
I think the struggle is going to be for the rest of your earthly life to be cognizant of what you're doing, to know this can grab a hold of you.
Yeah, it doesn't say you won't struggle, right? It's that he'll help you with those struggles. And one of the things the scriptures, it's Old Testament and it's referred to in the New, is the story of Lot who lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the point of that story that I forget which apostle, was it Peter or Paul, said that the point of that story he drew from was the Lord knows how to rescue the righteous. Look at Lot, and he will rescue you too. But we have to trust him and do our part to resist the temptation he's trying to save us from.
Mm-hmm.
Stay away from the sticky trap.
Get you every time.
Yeah, don't grab the cheese.
As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here, and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please share the word.
It's Blindly Obvious, baby.